Hello, everyone. You're welcome to Bus Stop Diaries. My name is Crispy K. Today's topic, the third force. Before we delve into the topic, I just wanted you to know that you can get this podcast on different streaming platforms, Major Online, most importantly, on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, every single place that you get your podcast from, you will find us there. And make sure to drop your comments, like, subscribe, and you'll be the first to get this whenever it drops. Today, I'm here with two amazing gentlemen. On my left is Elisha Pamford. How are you?
I'm fine, Chris.
I hope you're so warm.
Oh, the Elisha, eh?
Elisha.
You become a sip.
Okay. Returning on this episode, the people loved him the last time he came here, and he's here again. Back with you.
Yeah, bro.
Everything cool?
Everything cool.
Charlie, the last time... Okay, we'll not talk about that. No problem. We'll focus on today's conversation.
No problem.
So, yes, it's been 32 years of the Fourth Republic, and there seemed to be a seeming duopoly when it comes to, you know, the political party system, MPP, NDC. One comes, goes 8 years, the other comes 8 years, and that's what we've known over the years. We've had people who... you know, come in as a third force, either through a political party or as an independence candidate. But their fortunes have been nothing to write home about. Election 2024 is almost around the corner, and we want to know, are we ready for that ultimate third force? Or, you know, it's just going to be the same old thing that we've known and, you know, break the eight, or it's the same once more. Pakwisi.
Yeah.
Do you think the third force is something that we are ready for, or, you know, we shouldn't talk about it?
Anytime I hear about conversations about the third force, it makes me laugh because I think that the people who normally hold that perspective or share that impression do not understand, if you like, the fine dynamics of politics. And I'm going to explain why. Politics is constituted by people. It is human beings who come together to form a particular group, and they brand that group a political party. So NDC has human beings in there. Mm. NPP also has breathing souls in there. Yep. Basically, it's human beings who form political parties. Yeah. Now, when you are calling for a third force, what effectively are you asking? You are asking for another political outfit. Yep. This is the relevant question. The people who would constitute that other political outfit, where are they going to come from? Are they going to come from a jurisdiction outside Ghana, such that they'll have maybe new perspectives or a different approach to life? The answer is no. Those same people will be coming from the same Ghanaian system. And the same Ghanaian system is where, if you like, the corruption or the stained mindset and, if you like, the poor perspectives are. Okay, so if I were to put everything in a scenario, think of it this way, that you have a big basin, okay, and then you have two buckets, and then those two buckets are full. And those two buckets, their content is from... I mean, what, from the original basin. Mm-hmm. You are now saying that let us come and put a third bucket down and fetch water to fill it. Meanwhile, the water we're going to fetch to fill that third bucket is coming from the main basin that has already filled the first two buckets.
Yeah.
How are these three buckets of water going to be different in any way? They would not, because it's the same people, it's the same ideology. So when I hear the conversation about third forces, I always ask, okay, is it that we're going to have some Spaniards or some Dutch or some, you know, expatriates, people with a different orientation coming to form a political party? The answer is no. So if it is the same Ghanaians who actually enable the supposedly corrupt NDC and MPP in the very first place, if they're the same people who are enabling them, saying that they want a third force, I mean, it's much ado about nothing, because basically same people, same ideologies, and same thoughts.
Okay, Pamford.
You know, Pagusi has said a lot. He has mentioned a lot. And he's saying it's not possible. I don't agree with him, because it is possible. Mm. And me saying it is possible, I'm not talking for the other parties claiming it is possible.
Shout out
to themselves, they know it is possible a third force can come into power.
Okay.
That's why they are trying all means to take them off.
Okay.
And he gave a scenario with a bucket and water. Let me also give him a scenario. I'm a prey in the forest, and I'm being hunted by you, Pakwisi. If I'm running from you, I'm not running to fall into a trap that I fled from in the first place. I'm running for freedom. So I'll not run from MPP and NDC, then I'll go back to MPP. No, I'm running for freedom. So you should know, we the youth here, Charlie, the country all too.
Mm.
We are not here to come and vote. Gone are the days where our fathers and our mothers, they vote for MPP because, oh, our family is MPP, our family is NDC. We are talking about reality. We are not talking about book language here. So Pabezi, you should know this is not a diplomatic talk that you are coming to say, oh, looking at politics or from the perspective of politics, if you understand politics. Bro, it's reality we are talking about.
Well, it's reality we're talking about.
When you were talking, I didn't come, I just want to react quickly to the analogy of 40.
If we don't deal with the 40 analogy, we will not progress.
From what he's saying, man,
Elisha is saying, you know what Elisha is saying? The point he's making is that...
I get what he's saying perfectly. What he's saying is... We are branching away. You know, usually there was this thing about, okay, NPP has 5 million votes assured.
Yeah.
NDC has 5 million votes assured. Mm. And from the analogy you gave, the Ghanaians are being, you know, whoever is going to, you know, make up the third force is still coming from that same basis.
Absolutely.
Of Ghanaians, yeah. Absolutely. Right? But he's coming from the perspective where we are moving away from the system where I no longer want to belong in the basis.
Who are the human beings moving away? Are they foreigners?
No. Are they not the same Ghanaians?
Now, but, I want to... No, but, I want to... You see... Ideological. No disrespect, but if like you not get sense,
yeah.
All right, you not get sense where you did, maybe university insider. Mm-hmm. If you come street, it be the same thing.
Sure.
If you are not sensible, your environment does not matter.
Because
the problem is about the thinking and then the mental wiring of the people. I want to touch on this analogy briefly. Now, Chris, look at how porous that analogy is. Mm-hmm. That if a wicked hunter is chasing you and you are running away from the torture and you are looking for freedom, you won't go back. But you see, in this situation, the forest that you are in, that you are running for and seeking freedom, it's a forest that is dominated by wicked hunters. So if you are running, moving away from eventually, so long as it's within the borders of the same forest, where are you going really?
It's a forest filled with hunters. Mm. I'm not running
wicked hunters.
Wicked hunters. I'm not running to a hunter, but I'm running for freedom. So there's no way if I see
within the borders of the same forest.
Of the same forest.
So where are you going to?
Let's take it to the sea. You want us to...
Have you left the forest now? I want you to stick to... Stick to your forest.
Stick to the forest.
Because it's a porous analogy. And I'm proving it to you in the sense that at the end of the day, it's a forest. No,
Sandoff. If I'm still in the forest, there is no way if I want freedom, I'm going to land in the hand of a wicked hunter. Knowing it's a wicked hunter. I'll still run for my freedom.
The point is everybody in the forest is a wicked hunter.
You said every sensible person... You made a statement using, if you are sensible, you know how to go to this or you know how to go to that. Mm-hmm. Look, the same sensible person, when we are talking about reality, you know how life is hard now. And you know how life was hard in the other governance. And you know how life is hard now. Mm. So there's no way you are going to trade your life for someone who is wicked or someone who is corrupt, for someone who is feeding on your tax to make better living for his and their families. You find a way to come out of them. And what's that way?
Okay.
That way, whatever they are doing now... No, Pablo, whatever they are doing now is causing a threat to national security. Mm. Because I've seen MPP came. They didn't help me. NDC came. They're not helping me. NDC came back. They didn't help me. Mm. MPP is back. They're still not helping me. Mm. What do you think? I'm a graduate. I don't.
Let me land.
I'm a graduate. I'm home.
This is delusive.
There's no work for me to do. Mm. The same government I voted for, they are then telling me I should find something to do because even the payroll or whatever list I'm supposed to be on to get salary is full. What do you think? I'm not getting the work. Then let me think about other things to do. Mm. Oh, probably me just getting a knife somewhere, stand in the dark somewhere. I can just go to Chris.
I want to ask a question. So from 92, MPP didn't stand for parliamentary elections in 92.
Laughable.
Came back in 96. Getting towards the 2000 elections, we saw Reku Brobe break away from the MPP, Gusitano break away from the NEC, right? It didn't work. We've had political parties. Actually, I think I was watching Evans on PM Express the other day, and PNC, right? He's the only one who's actually had a good fortune when it comes to the third force. All other political parties or independent candidates have had, they've performed very, very poorly when it comes to the elections. Now, we keep screaming and saying the MPP is not helping us, the NDC is not helping us. You find people talk about, you see people actually move and follow these people. Parkway Singindum came, Ivo Green Street came. There's the different political parties. You see the crowd behind them. You see them push and support them. But when it gets to the day of the elections, we see what happens. NDC takes half. MPP takes half. Whoever is able to, sway those floating voters gets more and then wins the elections. Is it not just talk from the youth of our country who are not really ready for what's happening? Because every 4 years, we hear the shouts for a third force, we hear the shouts for a new phase, and the story remains the same. What is different this time around that you are speaking about that you think indeed a third force is going to work this time.
History is made. Mm. And the same thing you're saying, before 2001 in Zambia, it was the same traditional multi-party system. But in 2001, the Patriotic Front came into power. That was a third force. Kenya, still in Africa. Mm. Also, the Orange Democratic Movement came into power as a third force in 2005. Still in Africa. Tanzania, it worked. Senegal, it worked. What makes it difficult that it can't work in Ghana?
Now, when he says he should be able to tell us the metrics for that assessment. You can't just say
it worked. I'll send you the data
when we get there.
But look, when you are considering Ghana, the people you mentioned earlier are people who came from these same political parties and people who are trained by these same people we are trying to run from.
Okay.
So there's no way I can believe that this person can make a difference. But here's a situation that we have independent people coming with the voice of the youth that we can make it happen. I don't care how you laugh. The voice of the youth is number one.
That's a facade. What do you mean, voice of the youth? In the NDC and in the NPP, they have a lot of young people already.
Maybe Pakuzi, I don't know age, but maybe you're too old that you still have this system, this bond with that.
Not at all.
Old thing our grandfathers and fathers were doing that. Because I'm MPP, I should go for MPP. Or because I'm NDC, or when I was born, it's just MPP, NDC. So these two parties are the only people who are going to make it.
Okay.
I am a vibrant youth. And I know less about MPP and NDC. Talking about my age. So I see these two people have made no difference to age.
That's MPP problematic.
Come on, Pagusi. MPP came, they did nothing better. NDC came, nothing better. They just come with empty promises, policies that are null and void. And they don't even, I'll send you, we'll talk about facts after the show because we don't have enough time. But why don't we try a new person? Fine. Maybe a new person might not work. Oh, a new person in Ghana is never possible. But the countries I mentioned in Africa, there was never a new person until they tried. Ghana, is it GUM, that political party? That man came out of nowhere. But into to our surprise, he was supposed to even be the last to talk about. But after we realized he was just not that close, but at least he made it to a point without MPP NDC, he would have been. So imagine a vibrant youth coming out.
Did you ever spend time to look at his policies?
So, from where I'm coming from, you absolutely don't think we need a third force.
Let me explain the basis properly. All right. Now, when you are talking about a third force, maybe we should put it in the context. A third force effectively means that another political establishment that will break the duopoly of the NDC and the NPP. NPP,
yeah.
Okay, that conversation. Perhaps maybe we are just, do you know how I see it? I see it as people who are just angry for an alternative and not a proper change.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. Because if we were to have a new political establishment, the argument is the same. Where are they going to be coming from? They'll be cut from the same fabric and cloth of Ghanaians. And it is in Ghanaians that there's problematic thinking. Mm. So basically what you are doing is that you are only maybe even expanding the whole problem. Because at the end of the day, it's the same ideologies that are going to be used to govern the country.
It's changing.
If you are looking for a proper third force, this is what is supposed to be the focus. The focus should not be about another political establishment. Mm-hmm. It should be about the reorientation of how we think properly.
Okay.
And the third forces can actually be the same NDC and MPP. Let me give you an example. So, for example, maybe today we publish a news or any story on corruption on the current government. I'm not specific, but I'm just saying that there is a sitting government, NDC or NPP.
Yeah.
We publish a story that borders on corruption. Imagine we had the young people in that same party where the allegation is against. Imagine we had the same young people there coming out to condemn the deed and they are not defending it because they are aligned to the party.
Okay.
What do you think that is going to do? That is going to now transform the political landscape in the sense that those at the helm of affairs will know that, look, even if we misbehave, our own people will do what? Our own people are going to call us out.
Okay.
Even if we do wrong, they will not applaud us because more times, maybe it'd be one a party. So then go do like, it'd be my party, my party. Yeah. That my party thing. It is rubbish. That is the problem. So if you are looking to change Ghana, if you want the country to progress, the focus is not on creating another political enterprise altogether. Right. When the mindset is the same. It take like it'd be some chick way, maybe more times, in the boy, you get bad attitude that like in life be bazaar. Then you say, okay, I'm not progressing. I won't marry. Then you go left this person. It is not about the alternatives. It's about the character deficiency and the crack in behavior that has not been corrected.
But this character deficiency, for instance, our MPs, right? Mm. So if we saw the example with Isaac Isiama, right? When he decided to, and different you know, political figures, especially even with Alan Chimanté's movement, where they decide to be on the other side and speak against the party they originally belong to, and they are disowned. If you're an MP and you are disowned by your party, automatically you lose your seat in parliament.
Absolutely.
Right? So if that, the constitution of these political parties actually go to work against this, you know, reorientation of the mind.
You know why it happens that way? Mm. So you know why dissent is often punished when you are in a political party and you show a little bit of a reservation? You know why it is punished? Because more often than not, it's an individualistic affair.
Okay.
More often than not. But if we had, for example, in the National Democratic Congress or the New Patriotic Party, you had, let's say, the base of the party coming out to say that, look, this corruption allegation, it's a scandalous. We all do not want it. And they mass up in numbers at the party's headquarters. Mm. You think the party leadership would not?
We had an example where a lot of MPP MPs were against Ken Ofori-Atta, the former finance minister. At the end of the day, what did we see? We literally saw that engineering, that initiation of the MPs.
Ultimately, where is Ken Ofori-Atta?
He is
the
born,
president actually heeded their call and he told them that.
At what time?
No, I'm coming. No, it was a crucial moment where he was in the middle of an engagement with the IMF. So Ken says that the president says, look, your call is a very positive one. And that was even the very first. So that is the impact of the engagement with the IMF.
You actually need people to say that, irrespective of this engagement you are making, we want this sort of change. And so no matter what you want to say to us, no matter the kind of engagement.
No, we would have to be. You see, obviously, sometimes radicalism must come with a bit of common sense. Mm. Okay? You cannot ask a man who is having sex to pull out because he wants to come and maybe lock your door. If the man really wants to get pregnant, and if you're also expectant and you want to see a child, you cannot be forceful in that manner.
Safety over everything.
No, that's not safety. You are looking at results.
If I am having sex and I need to get pregnant and someone is going to shoot me in the head, what's the essence of
being a baby? No, you are looking at results. Mm. Okay, you are looking at results. Ghana was and we are still in the door.
Yeah.
We were in negotiations with a global lender.
Yeah.
The president receives a petition. Do you know the president could have said, well, I'm not going to listen to you. He actually admitted and said, look, these are very valid concerns. Mm. But where we are now, you should hold on. The big question and relevant issue we should be discussing is that, is Ken Ofori-Atta still the man at the helm?
He should have left Ken to finish with the IMF then.
Is he still the man at the helm of affairs? Mm. No, he's still not the man at the helm of affairs. Okay. So we can agree that, well, it produced some results. If there is mass action, rather than, let's say, individualistic efforts, that is when we see the necessary change. Mm-hmm. So let me even bring in this issue. For example, the Cecilia Dapakis. Make we talk, say, right, the all MPP people then did the country go Akufo-Addo in there. Flagstaff House. This is not NDC-led or civil society. Them all go talk, say, Charlie, Akufo-Addo, we want the matter to be. How do you think the president would react in that manner?
Ken
Ofori-Atta, that is why we don't need.
Ken Ofori-Atta is still in position as a consultant, and I'm reliably informed that he's still
that's an allegation. We have a new finance minister. The call was that he should not be a finance minister. The question is, is he the finance minister?
He's still involved.
So the call has been answered. We didn't say
Is he not involved?
Was the call to the effect that he should be away from government business or he should recuse himself as finance minister?
The call was specifically about him not being a finance minister. It's like a headline and support the sentences. But to his point of, you know, re-engineering our minds as youth, right? We keep calling for a third force. We keep doing this. What is the youth currently doing to show that indeed, that if we are bringing someone new or if we want someone new, it's not going, like he said, it's not going to be from the same basin with the same ideology and the same mindset, and we are just going to repeat what the MPP and the NDC have been doing?
So, like I said, Pakusi sits in there himself. He's an angry youth. He's just not speaking the truth because I don't know why he's not, but I'm sure he has a reason why he's not speaking.
What if he feels like he's alone? I mean, if he speaks, he's just a loner. He won't go anywhere.
Chris, do you know the common denominator between the two of us? Do you know what binds the two? Is that we both want change, but his approach is defective. We want change, and change must start from the mind.
My approach is that I'm facing reality, and you are facing, I don't know if
what am I facing?
No, no, what you are facing is something you think that's a procedure and that's what is supposed to be done. But that's not what you are looking at now. We are supposed to face the reality.
Then your third force people, where then go come from?
Ghana. They are coming from Ghana.
Yep. Exactly. And obviously, the bulk of the population's thinking is corrupt.
Ghana doesn't necessarily mean because the old parties or the two parties you are talking about here are corrupt or were corrupt, the youth coming or the new party coming is also going to be corrupt.
Mm.
That's your mindset. That's why you think there's not going to be a change.
So Elisha, you're confident telling us that.
And I admit, I don't know if I should call them automobile parties. One is talking about an economy with a speedometer sign. Another man is calling for his steer to be given to him to drive. See, we are tired. Thanks to technology, now we have auto-drive cars.
Mm.
We are tired. If they like, they shouldn't even drive any car. We'll drive ourselves.
Then the person is also talking about taking the sea to the Ashanti region.
I'm not even attacking.
No, you mentioned that.
You know the point I want to make.
Let me tell you why the problem is about our thinking. You see, he said that one party is talking about what? Speedometer. Another person is talking about whatever. Okay. Now, that is fair and good. Thumbs up. But I am saying that when we even wanted to hear a third alternative, what we go here, Nukra, like it's about the thinking of the people. It's just one. That's not even an alternative yet.
It's just to bring the minds that they are even playing games with us. They know,
who are they?
See, the two parties are playing games with us. Because that's the truth, and you don't want to say it.
No, it's not about the two parties. So we should have a third force already.
So who is that? That's an emphatic statement. So who is your third force right now?
Who is your third force? The third force I'm talking about, I'm not specifically mentioning a party, but the youth itself is coming with anyone who is ready to stand for the youth.
NDC and NPP, don't they have young people there?
And these people, the two parties, they've made it look like if you try, we'll sabotage you. Or if you try, there's no way you're going to make it happen. So why don't you just come and join us so we move forward?
Mm.
Knowing specifically that if you join them, you're going to be influenced by their corruption or by their ways, and the country will still be going this way. But like I mentioned, gone are the days where I vote, because I'm an MPP, I vote for the president going for Nanado, and I vote for, if I'm in Saoma Duiju, I vote for Anodom Pre, because I'm MPP, I should vote for. But here's the case, if I still love the president, or I think the president is doing something right, these days, we don't go because the president is doing right, as we vote for my MP. Sometimes the MP is not doing something right.
So the skirt and blouse
kind now, of thing. Now, the skirt and blouse is working. That's to let you know time is changing. Things are evolving. There's a revolution somewhere.
Yeah.
And the youth has made it known to these people that we are very angry. And
why do you keep saying the youth? Why do you keep saying the youth?
Because
we are all young people. So when you keep saying, let me tell you your problem. If there's anybody who is being very realistic here, it is actually myself.
No, you're not being real. Looking at coming here, if you drove, you know yourself that the fuel you bought or the transport fare you paid is way more than what you are supposed to pay.
You see,
but yet you come to sit here and defend. I know after this point you say it's because of economic blah 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 blah.
That's not what I was saying. It's reality you are talking about.
Let's face reality. Let's not face books and papers.
Chris, there's a difference between a logical submission and sensationalism.
And logical
unfortunately,
that is what has characterized him.
I'm going to tell you why he has been from the blast of the whistle till now, and he may even overwhelm me, and I may even want to walk out of here because the sensationalism is too much. Do you know why?
Right.
Look, let me tell you why it is that way. him, I mean, sitting here, he acknowledges that times are hard.
Yeah.
Do I acknowledge the same thing?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. I also believe that at the end of the day, look, things are really poor and bad in Ghana.
Yeah.
Do we all need change? I want change. As he's even sitting here, he's sweating. He also needs change.
I need change.
All Charlie, of us are looking for change.
I'm sweating under AC.
But the point I am making, you see, the point I am making is that in as much as all of us want change, what I don't want is a third burden. Mm. If you are creating a new political party and it is being cut out of the same crop of Ghanaians who have enabled the NDC,
then Bagu is going to US and bring people here to come and govern the country.
And there has not been a change of mind. Do you know what I would prefer? I rather prefer to say that, look, then let us stick to the demons that we have than to create a third establishment, which effectively is not new.
No,
but do you agree with both? No, answer mine first. Do you agree conclusively that the two of us are yearning for change? We do.
We do.
But then you see, if you want change, change first of all and take this home. It starts from the mind.
So
you have to re-engineer your thinking.
The question is, because you have to re-engineer your thinking,
you cannot say we should form a third force merely because we should. Let me tell you what Ghanaians are looking for. We go to North one day, you know. Hey, Charlie, right now, NDC, the MPP, not day. These people don't. Let me tell you, if it is the same young people who we all know, if you are not careful, the country will even be worse off. So it must start from the mental reorientation.
What would you suggest, you know, we put in place to get that mind to reorient, that change of
ideas? This is a very brilliant question. And I will applaud you for that. You know,
we are wrapping up with this.
If we are looking for a proper intervention, do you know what I would advocate? And I hope nobody comes to pick me at home, but I would even say that this democracy we are practicing, okay, let's disband it.
Okay.
Let's all come together.
Monarchy.
Because perhaps, you know why? Because it's all about the mindset. Mm. If we say that today we don't want NDC again, we don't want NPP again, we just want, let's say, that we are vesting all the powers of the state into, let's say, Chris, for example, and all of us are having a national agenda as Ghanaians. We are saying that, look, from today, we don't want to see corruption again, like in places like China, where because of their communistic perspectives, look, if you even steal or you are corrupt, they'll deal with you. Let's all come that way. But here in Ghana, if somebody is even corrupt and we have, look, there is a smoking gun, incontrovertible evidence to the fact that this person is corrupt. Do you know how Ghanaians were approach the issue? Oh, he's corrupt. Okay, he's from which party? NDC. Okay, MPP. Now MPP for cry when they were in power, didn't they do that?
Yeah.
Equalization will come in. If we had a third force and that third force were in governance and a person in the third force, okay, were to be corrupt, you know what is going to happen?
We'll go back.
They'll say that, oh, you NDC and MPP, when you came, you did the same thing, right? This stuff, they won't hate on the third force people. So don't you get the sense that it is the thinking? Mm. So we have to correct the thinking first.
Okay.
Don't create a new political party cut out of the same corrupt breed of Ghanaians, because then it will be the same game. So in conclusion, this is the recommendation. Let's all come to the table and say that, look, Ghana, we are broken. Our economy is in doldrums. We are not doing well. But from today, all of us are going to have a renewed thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's Elijah or what?
Elijah.
Is he Elijah? If he's a man of God, you should go and read what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says that do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind. If he's Elijah and he's not thinking that way, then even his name,
what are you suggesting, finally? Is it a communist party, autocracy, monarchy? What are you suggesting?
I'll go for communism.
I'll go for communism. All right.
Yes, that's all.
I want to ask you, even dealing with democracy alone, bringing in a third force, you think is not possible. How can you change it now? And how do you expect Ghana?
I don't want you to ask him. Just make your conclusion, because you're wrapping up.
My conclusion is simple. We are tired of this MPP NDC.
Okay.
We need a third force, and the third force is possible. And his argument that it can never happen is, I should call it a fallacy even. You rather not making a point because you think
I have not said it cannot happen.
It can always happen.
But it's about the people involved.
We tire.
Nobody has said
that. Maybe you're okay. But we are not okay. And we know what we will go through again if these two parties come back. You are saying if we renew our mindset, the person who will rule can be coming from this MPP and NDC. Bro, Emfa. I'm telling you for a fact. There is no way these two parties can make it well again. Unless a new party come out. And you... Should it be monarchy, autocracy?
But don't we even have new parties already?
No.
Chris, don't we even have new parties already? Where are they?
We have new parties already. But programming the agenda to make it happen is what we are looking for.
What does that involve?
Thank you very much, my guest. So this has been Bust Up Diaries. And I know, as always, it's a heated conversation. We've been seeing your comments. We appreciate them. Do all to like, subscribe, share this podcast to, you know, your networks and let them get involved in the conversation as well. Wherever you find your podcast, if it's Amazon, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere, YouTube, MyJoy Online, get this conversation, get involved, because indeed we do need the change, and then we need to make sure Ghana gets better. My name is Chris PK. I was here with Elisha Panford and Parkwisi Shandoff. Thank you very much. See you on the next episode.